Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Weekday Wednesday.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, happy May.
It's May Day. Aren't you supposed to get flowers on May Day?
I was just thinking about that.
Oh, I think we need to get flowers on May Day.
I think we're going to get a lot of flowers for the new health center.
We have moved, we have expanded a little, and we are going to have some fun in the new health center. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful. And thank you to all of the volunteers at Tumbleweeds Health Center who worked and sweated and screamed and cried and bitched and yelled and smiled and hugged and laughed and teared and put the center together. It's awesome. It's a lot of work. And without them, we could not do it. Seriously, they are just freaking awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We say Wednesday. Yesterday was Willie's birthday.
Woo! Yeah.
And
April 30th.
Willie Nelson.
Birthday.
Guess what else happened yesterday? First hemp crop was planted in the U.S. since
1970.
Because we don't know when they stopped planting them. They were planting them during World War II because the government said, this stuff's so great.
Yeah.
You need it. But only for a little while, and only when we want it, and then you guys have to stop.
And then only we can benefit from it.
Exactly. So, no more of that. Lincoln, Washington, boys, the party's at home.
Yeah.
Coming back. We're bringing it back, guys. Bringing it back. We have a great show today. We have a great show every day.
Yeah.
Holy
I think
cow.
We always have a great show.
We have a great show. We have some patients in the audience.
Hey,
Lady Luck is here.
Hey, thanks for always having me, Tumbleweed.
Cannabis Kid is somewhere in the world right now.
Maybe we'll hear from him. He usually, checks in.
Speaking of the world at large, Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bell Star, Lady Luck. And some crazy patients here this
morning. Some crazy patients.
Anita
is here.
Yeah.
Anita Bong. We got that coming.
That's true.
Sure.
Statement.
We did, though. We're trying to figure out. We've got Doug calling in this morning. Maybe that's him on the line right now. And I don't have my usual, microphone, everything set up. So it's just going to come through the airwaves here on the computer. Our tech guy is showing up. I blew that. I didn't tell him anything. We're here at the ranch this morning because the center's being put together still for the big May 1st opening. So we're back at the ranch this morning, and
tech guy's on his way.
Tech guy's coming in. But Wednesday we have strain reviews, interviews, product reviews. If you guys have any fun, cool products out there that you want to bring by Tumbleweeds, we can test out. We can let you know what we think of them. Us little can of testers out in the world. They need a consumer report. They need the can of testers guide. We could start that one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we could definitely put together a group of can of testers.
Heck yeah, I think we already have it.
Yeah.
You can send them, bring them over, bring your fun products over. Or if you want to call and talk about your fun products, you can do that too at 646-915-8421. You can email thctucson@gmail.com, and we will blog your questions. We know you have a million. We'll blog them daily, every second of the day if you want. We'll find a blog spot and we'll put it on there. Call and ask your question. Hi, tech guy.
Hi, tech guy.
We like to see you. We like tech guy. So, what's going on in the world of cannabis today? There's a lot actually going on. So yesterday the first crop was planted that, it's been a long time. But
Willie Nelson's birthday. And where was that planted, Michelle?
That was in Colorado.
That was in Colorado. So, big deal with that.
Yeah.
So that means that we hopefully are going to bring back some hemp. Hemp clothes.
Yes.
Hemp fabric.
Hemp shoes.
Hemp shoes. Hemp paper.
Hemp paper.
Hemp everything.
And saves lots of trees, people.
Yeah, and it actually grows and is completed within a 100-day cycle, hemp is. It takes how many hundreds of years to grow a tree to then plant it down? To take it down?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's just insane.
Just to get a piece of paper.
And guess what? I think we have a guest caller this morning.
Ooh.
All the way from another state.
It's always a surprise.
Yeah, you wait. We're going to try and see if this works. All right, who do we have this morning? Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Oh, is it me?
Who's this?
Doug Banfelder. Actually, not from another state. Maybe from another state of mind a little bit, but I do have a report from Washington State, if that'd be of interest.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, that works. Well, how are
you?
Yeah.
Very well. I'm doing very well, thanks. Busy, and that's a good thing. And, yeah, we've been busy, too. The Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce has been very busy down at the legislature, lobbying a little bit. But that's Arizona news. I wanted to tell you about Washington news first, if I could.
Well, you absolutely can. I actually thought I was putting someone else on the spot here. I'm going to read a little bit about Doug Banfelder. He sent us a bio, and I thought in the middle of moving that I had posted it on our website. I apologize. It did not get up there, but I'm going to read a little bit about Doug right now, even while he's on the air, just so everyone knows. This is Doug's second time to Weed Day Wednesday. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for coming back, Doug.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Doug Banfelder is a commercial insurance agent with Premier Southwest Insurance Group located in Scottsdale, Arizona. Specializing in the cannabis industry has given Doug the knowledge and experience necessary to meet the unique coverage needs of those operating dispensaries, cultivation, commercial kitchens, and related businesses. And Doug also serves as president of the Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce, a professional trade group dedicated to supporting the cannabis industry and to building public support for marijuana policy reform. You can, and this was taken from the Cannabis Business Group website, www.cannabisbusinessgroup.org. All right. Doug, tell us what's going on in the world of cannabis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the commercial. appreciate that. You know, and the fact that it didn't make it on your website last night is probably why I've had a reduction in my fan mail, but that's okay. No. We appreciate all plugs. We appreciate what... There you go. And we appreciate what you guys do for the cannabis community. Absolutely. Support you 100%. So thank you for what you're doing. And congratulations on your move. That's outstanding.
Yay. Thank you. Very excited. Yeah.
New facility. Yeah. So Cannabis Business Group is an outfit. Basically, it's a law firm that's driving that. It's probably the preeminent law firm doing cannabis legal advising in the state of Washington. And so I was up there last week to speak at an I-502 seminar, which was, of course, about their Initiative 502, their legalization measure, like Colorado's Amendment 64 that they passed in November as well. So there's a lot of excitement. There's about 80 people there. A lot of them were attorneys. Some were investors, certainly. And then also there were a lot of small business people, which was great to see. So they're people that are used to running businesses and are looking to get into the cannabis industry now that it's going to be for any adult use in Washington State. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah,
a lot of people, good level of interest, of course, you can imagine. And I didn't know this, first time I'd been in Washington State in many, many years and the first time in Seattle. So since now I'm in this industry, I asked, I said, how many dispensaries do you have in Seattle? Now, how many would you think? Right, it's a city of 2 million.
They've
had a kind of well, okay, and you would be right legally, I suppose, because they're known as access points, and they have a weak medical marijuana law right now that's been on the books for the last number of years. So, but it's a pretty forgiving political environment. They're very tolerant there. Maybe Vancouver being nearby has something to do with it, and of course. Victoria, British Columbia is not all that far away, and it's the kind of the political mindset there. But so okay, so 2 million people. If we figure 2% of a population typically can qualify for medical cards, and usually do in the states with those programs, so we might have 40,000 patients, right?
Right.
And Arizona has 38,000 patients right now, I guess, and growing number, of course. I was astounded. When one of my friends who runs a testing lab up there told me that they have 150 dispensaries in Seattle, not statewide, just in Seattle.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
100. That's one on every. That's like Starbucks. That's like one on every.
Wow.
Half
well,
a block.
Yeah, in Seattle, Starbucks probably outnumber them, but not by a lot. I mean, about every half block there's another Starbucks. But no, there were a lot of them. I saw one on the Link Light Rail from the airport to downtown, just cruising by and looked up at a little strip mall on a second floor. And it was a great name because, of course, they're a coastal state. And the name was Sea Weed. I thought that was a good one.
That's great.
I like that.
So, but no, just as you can imagine, there's a lot of interest there in cannabis. People are using it and enjoying it, and the sky hasn't fallen like our opponents would say it would. Seattle's a very sophisticated, high-functioning, highly literate city. It's a great place to go for tourism, and I tell you that because it hasn't been a lot of noise about it, but I think in their rulemaking process, they will be allowing cannabis tourism. Basically, yeah, I don't know that you can buy it and take it home with you. That it's got to stay within state borders, of course.
Oh, right.
But you can go and you'll be able to enjoy in Seattle or the Yakima Valley or any of those places that are great places to visit in the state of Washington. Yep.
Wow.
Anybody 21 and over, any adult. So that's pretty neat.
So can you go into like any Safeway or Rite Aid and pick up a pack of cannabis cigarettes?
Not in the Rite Aids or the Walmart or Walgreens or those places, but there will be dispensaries. And those dispensaries, the licenses, I believe at this point they're leaning towards giving licenses to those that have existing cannabis businesses that have been, not in trouble with the law in any way. So they're kind of going to grandfather some rights in, if you will, for those folks that have been on the ground and providing medical cannabis and doing it in a responsible way. So that's okay. That's certainly good. It's a tough industry, and it helps if people have experience in the industry when they're starting some new venture in the industry.
Yeah. Amen. Are citizens that – well, let me just ask this. So who's unhappy about this bill there? Anybody?
I don't know. I think there were three of them in a cab. They were going across town. That was about it. Very few people. There's very little vocal opposition. Very little. I picked up a lot of the free weeklies and monthly magazines. Looked through those. Northwest Leaf is an outstanding publication. It's tabloid style, full color. A lot of content in there. A lot of conversation and content about political and legal environments and activism, as well as medical and other uses of cannabis. And the industry takes ads out, of course, and it's very pro, obviously. It's well written, it's well done, it's a great publication. The other one I saw was Dope Magazine. That's more 420 lifestyle, as you would expect from the name. Again, but it's a glossy, it's a bound magazine style. And then there was The Stranger, I guess it's just called Stranger. That's an older weekly tabloid style, like our New Times kind of arts and entertainment, but a lot of good information and definitely some information about cannabis in there. And in fact, the Canna Law Group, which is the law firm department, if you will, it's a Harrison Moore law firm in Seattle, and it's the and they're specialty division is Canna Law Group. They take out ads in The Stranger. They found that that's the best publication to advertise in. So
yeah,
a lot of good information available for Seattleites just on the street available to them. And it's just part of the culture, which is great to see.
That is great. So as part of being part of the culture, can you sit on your front porch and partake? Let's say go out to Denny's and sit in your car beforehand and then go in and have a grand slam?
Probably in your car, as long as you're not driving, and on the front porch maybe not, but in the backyard certainly. There's no public use. I did get out to walk around the Space Needle, which is a lot of fun. It's a beautiful spot, and I don't know if I bring that up because you may recall when their law went into effect, which was, I want to say, December 7th for some reason. It was in December. There were some photos that were taken and made the media about people just sparking up under the Space Needle. Is a great celebration. And here's something for you. The City of Seattle Police Department said, we're not going to arrest these people. This is outside the law. We understand they want to celebrate. It's a big change in public policy. We'll let it go this time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Very progressive. And the other thing that was neat, about the Seattle Police Department. They created a website, or a, it's a spot on their blog. I guess they maintain a regular blog called Mara What Now. Mara What Now. Yeah, so if you go to Seattle Police Department and you look on their blog and you see, you know, Google Mara What Now, and what you'll find is, how helpful can this be for the police department? They're telling you what the parameters of the law are. So they're saying, they're acknowledging, they're not fighting the fact that we have more freedom, but they want to help you keep on the right side of the law. Now, there's a concept.
Yeah.
I think we could all wrap our minds and arms around.
Absolutely. Minus the handcuffs.
Yes.
It's early for me. I'm just getting started on my coffee here. Are they being trained in how to handle marijuana patients? Because I know here in Arizona, I don't believe the police department has like official training on what to do if you pull someone over, how to handle them, how to check their cards, what a card's supposed to look like. Do they have cards in Washington, or is it just a free-for-all?
That's a good question about the police training, and you're right. In Arizona, every state has a post, a Peace Officers Standards Training Board, but they just refer to it as AZ Post. Every state has a post, so there's a Washington Post, or a WA Post, I guess they'd call it. I don't know what training the police have had, although I have seen media reports that they are now training their dogs not to recognize marijuana. So the new dogs that they're bringing online to train, they're not training them to point, if you will, or whatever it is when they alert on something that's, you know, contraband or illicit. So now they're no longer being trained to sniff out marijuana. So
well,
how's
what
that?
Do you think about that? I have mixed feelings about that, because I know that there are some serious drug dealers that carry around hundreds and hundreds of pounds of marijuana, selling them to little children and, you know, jeopardizing lives. I don't know. I mean, yeah. And yes and no. I don't know. It's a hard thing, but that's an interesting fact or thought. Anyway.
Yeah. They'll look for probable cause.
Yeah.
They'll look for other types of probable cause if they have suspicions. And if you've got hundreds of pounds, there's probably some other signal there.
Yeah, exactly. Money, something.
Yeah, something. Yeah, that's true.
Right. And actually, to your point about the cards, of course, now under the medical model, yes. But under the any adult use model, the tax and regulate model, no. So you'll just prove, and that was one of the things I mentioned in my little spiel to the folks assembled. You know, there will be checking identification. It'd be like being carded to buy alcohol. So
right.
As long as you're 21 and over, you know, if you're in the state, great. If you're from out of state, that's fine too. You can't just order up 2 pounds and, you know, put it in your bag to ship back to Michigan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a good way of.
They probably will do what Colorado has indicated they would do, and that is for folks with out-of-state licenses, in particular out-of-state ID, they'll make it a very small amount that you can purchase at any given time. So if your request, if you're restricted to an eighth purchase at a time, then it'd be kind of hard to accumulate too much to
right.
send back, you know, a bunch to send back.
Family. Right.
So you actually have to go there and stay there, and they want that too. In fact, I talked to the mayor of Seattle, Mike McGuinn. He was terrific. He spoke at the end of the day, and he started. Now, I knew he was favorable, so I was puzzled when he started his remarks and listed three incidences that were violent or somebody got hurt or certainly somebody went to jail that was related to marijuana or cannabis. And so I didn't know where he was going with it. And then, and it was a good thing I was sitting down, because then he said, this is why we have to acknowledge that the war on drugs has failed.
Oh.
People are not safer under prohibition. It creates a criminal element. And there are a lot of problems, social problems, related to the war on drugs. And so this is why I support the reform of our marijuana laws. Can you imagine an elected official in Arizona saying that? Any elected official? Even a dog catcher?
I'm still shocked. I don't even know what to say to that.
I know.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It really is. And it's about time. I mean, everyone's saying that, but this plant has been so misrepresented for such a short period of time that it's been used so much longer than it has been misrepresented. You know what I mean?
right.
for thousands of years. And now finally someone's come back saying, you know what? Hey, let's rethink this. Let's do this over, because sometimes in life you need do-overs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he realizes that. He appreciates that argument. And so to your point, I said I'd have to come back, you know, and I talked to him afterwards, introduce myself, whatever. And he said, yeah, he said, come on back. And earlier I'd made a comment that when they said anybody, you know, anyone 21 and over can go in and will be able to go to a dispensary or wherever they end up selling it and get some cannabis. And so I said, oh, tourism. And the crowd laughed because they realized definitely it's going to be a draw. And Seattle's already a big draw for tourists anyway, with the Pike Place Market, Space Needle, and all the rest of the good things they've got going on.
Heck yeah. Just like Amsterdam. It's going to be another one of those attractions. But Doug, what do you think? When do you think the rest of the United States will jump aboard? I mean, D.C.'s opening their first dispensary just right down the street from the White House.
Good point. That's got to have an effect when Congress people go by in their limos or staffers go by, you know, walk past it. And they see it. But when they see it on the ground, truly on the ground, and in operation in their community, and they see that nothing changes, I mean, nothing really changes. If anything, fewer people go to jail. They have to recognize that this is the way, there's a reason that the people are moving this way. And so to answer your question, I don't know, all I can say is the dominoes are falling faster and faster. Rhode Island's looking at a full legalization measure right now. And Vermont is. And, of course, we have other states, Connecticut and Massachusetts, are coming online with dispensary programs. And Maryland just became the 19th state, which I think is great. And I really, it's easier to remember, too. They have a medical model in the extreme. Their medical model is in the extreme, and I can remember it, and that it's Maryland because the abbreviation for Maryland is MD, so that's okay. But here's the interesting thing for those of us that are really keen on the medicalization of cannabis. In Maryland, the cannabis will only be dispensed by hospitals, research hospitals. So there will be no dispensaries. There will be nobody growing at their home. They won't allow those things. But this actually works to our advantage in a number of ways. The primary one, for, like I said, those of us interested in medicalization, John Hopkins wants to be listed and wants to be a dispensary, so to speak. They want to be responsible. The patients will go to the hospital to get their cannabis. So this is going to be a research effort, and there's going to be great research that comes out of it. And when you have John Hopkins and some other esteemed organizations doing this, there's obviously some there. You know, our argument that it's medical is going to have greater weight now. And that can only be a good thing.
Wow, that's really amazing. That'll send a huge message.
Yeah, exactly.
To everybody in the world. I mean, not just the United States, people in the States. That's, you know, that's really wonderful.
Absolutely.
I wonder, though, about, and this is something that the patients of Arizona really struggle with, is that patients really want to grow their own medicine. Not just because it's cheaper or they know what's in it, but for a lot of people, it's a really good therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good therapy for people.
Just the act of gardening itself. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that people that have physical challenges, maybe if they're in a wheelchair or can't walk as well, if they've got a tiny little garden in their house that they don't have to go out to the backyard to do, if they can just stay right inside their home and have one or two plants that they can manage within their capabilities, that's
right.
A really important thing, I think.
They can juice the
whole plant, the raw plant, which patients are really struggling with. Everybody's on this big trend to move to juice, to eat it raw, to get it in your system whole, but nobody wants to tear their leaves. And people are holding to their leaves because they use hash and cooking and things like that, but really people are going for the raw plant itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them. I'm interested in juicing myself. I'm not a patient. I could be, I suppose. You know, I've got a lower back issue, and just for overall health and wellness, though, I would like the opportunity to learn about it and be able to do that. So I guess I'll have to get my patient card. I'm just waiting for the dispensaries to open because I'm not a cultivator of any sort myself, not a green thumb anymore.
Well, you'll have to come down the tumbleweeds for that.
All right. Well, I guess a trip to Tucson's in order.
It sure is. It surely is.
And just my own personal opinion, not representing anyone else, I don't have a problem with people growing their own, you know, small grows for individuals. But I understand that, you know, from a public policy perspective, it's a little bit troubling. It's just it's a lot for people to wrap their minds around who aren't on our side yet, and may be persuadable, but they aren't there yet. And so, you know, when dispensaries are opening and they see that there's no adverse impact on their community, we get there, then we'll have prepared the groundwork, if you will, for greater acceptance of more liberalization. So it's just, you know, right now people like the average person totally gets the fact that we should stop incarcerating people for it, redirect police efforts towards other better uses, and benefit ourselves as a society with some tax revenue from something people are doing anyway. They may as well. So most folks get that, but they're a little hinky maybe when you say we see it, because these dispensaries, some of them aren't getting cited. There have been some that have gone for their special use permit, conditional use permit, a zoning variance, whatever it is, and they get shouted down and run out of there on a rail by just a handful of really concerned folks in the neighborhood. And I get that too, because those folks don't know, and I've been kind of that person in my neighborhood being protective of it. But once they see that these businesses are not at all a problem, then we can take the next step and let people have a little more freedom. You know, it's baby steps, unfortunately, but that's the realistic view. I think the pragmatic view, that's the way it's going to happen. That's the way it is happening.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of not so open minds to open.
True. But having said that, now the recent poll that Pew did, and of course Pew is one of the most respected polling organizations in the country, what was it, 52% of the people said they were okay with legalization, with tax and regulate. And then 45% were opposed, but of those, if you play politics or observe politics closely and you have some understanding of how public opinion gets changed, you know, I can tell you that 45% with an education campaign, we could peel off 10% of that easily, maybe 15% with a good sustained education campaign. So where does that put our number? It goes from 52 to 62. Which is where about 60% of the people say, hey, if there's a medical program in place in that state, the feds should stand down. They should leave them alone. So I think we could get to 60% or more for full legalization once people see what it's like in their neighborhood, and then if we had some sort of a movement-wide education campaign that was focused on those people, the persuadables.
Excellent. I was going to talk about that as well. So what do you think about, do we have an organization, and you can send me around the country, I'll talk about it till I'm blue in the face. do just that and go around and educate everybody on, you know, what this plant is, the laws, the culture, the science, the medical, the whole thing. Like, I know that in Canada, Watermelon Girl was actually hired to go to different universities around the, territories, provinces. So we need somebody like that to do just that.
Absolutely. And you know, it's going to come in bits and pieces like everything else. It's one step at a time. But the media is helping now. They're helping a great deal because, you know, there are articles about cannabis in mainstream publications now, Fortune magazine, Forbes. This month, for the ladies in your audience, this month's Women's Health magazine has a very balanced, yet, you know, it's balanced, it's well written in that regard, but it is primarily pro because we know our arguments, you know, are true and they win out, and so it's a largely pro article on women who use cannabis for medical reasons or simply for relaxation as opposed to drinking, or maybe with a glass of wine. They might have a few girlfriends over and they'll smoke on a Friday night, and that's what they do. And so that's the article in Women's Health magazine. You can't get much more mainstream than that.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Go pick up a copy. If their sales go through the roof this month, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, actually, now they'll have the June issue out soon, but try to get your hands on a copy of the May issue. Yeah. So, and that's just one example. But
a bunch of them.
We're going to buy it right now.
Well, we'll just call send us the stack to tell Louise, and there you go. We got it.
There you go. And then the chamber, if I could, just say a couple words about our Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce. We're a group that has formed to support the industry, but we are patient-centered, patient-oriented. In fact, our mission statement is fostering professionalism and service to patients. So that's, I know for a fact, what you ladies do at your Tumbleweeds Health Center. And thank you for being members, because you are exemplary members of the community.
Thank you.
And
we appreciate everything that you do. It's hard. It's not an easy job to go out there and root for something that the country has told, everybody and their brothers a bad thing. And then you go out there and say, hey, no, this is a good thing, So
thank you for that. I do have an observation that goes right to your point. Somebody I was talking to the other day in the industry. They're in the process of opening a couple of dispensaries, and they said at their retail space, which I believe this one's in a small strip mall, in a nice part of town, in one of the urban areas, not real upscale, just decent, they are not finding any pushback in the community. They're being accepted now. There's been enough in the media, and there's been, if we tap into that latent belief or agreement with what we're saying, that this is better taxed and regulated than it is prohibited, most people agree with that. So now that the evidence, if you will, the anecdotal evidence is mounting, and people are reading in the newspaper, they're not seeing a bad fallout from this moving forward. So this woman was telling me that they've been welcomed by other merchants in the mall, and by some of the people they've been dealing with, the landlords and that sort of thing. So attitudes are changing.
Yeah, they are changing. It was when Tumbleweeds was first open, and we all, as volunteers, started talking about it.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, yeah, it's medical cannabis. And we were whispering, and, you kind of like look down and play with your hair even if you don't have any. And, and now it's just like, hey, it's medical cannabis. Check this out. This is great. And people are really, really open and receptive. And even the ones sometimes that are a little over on the fence, they at least listen.
Yeah.
I think that's
what's
happening these days. People are at least listening.
Yeah,
and not just
open their
going, nah, I don't want to hear it. They just go, oh, interesting,
Absolutely, and if I could, I want to get off, and I'll let some of your other guests get on, and I need to get to work. But I'll leave you with this, and this is really a key thing too, because attitudes are changing, and they're not just changing among everyday folks like ourselves, but they're also changing slowly, but it's happening among our elected officials, even in Arizona. So, a lot of folks are aware that Representative John Kavanaugh from Scottsdale Fountain Hills had tried to put a repeal measure on the ballot. Well, we call it a repeal. He was trying to get people to have to vote again for it, right, next year. So that received no committee hearing whatsoever. It was dead on arrival. And there was a concerted effort among some folks that understand political strategy and know the political players, and they got that done. I mean, these things don't happen just in a vacuum or just because. It happens as a result of direct action by people oftentimes that we don't know or see. But that's okay, because we had some good folks doing good strategy on our side. Then the other threat that we had at the legislative session this time around, and it's not concluded yet, of course, but now that it's after 100 days, they always say they want to get out in 100 days because that's where they get their full per diem, was through the first 100 days. They still have to wrestle with the budget and Medicaid issue right now, so they'll be there for a while yet. So the silly bills have been heard and either passed or gone through. Now they're getting down to the real meat of what they're supposed to do when they're down there. But Senator Kimberly Yee, who's from my legislative district, ran four bills through the ledge, and one was good, and one was I guess we could say we're neutral on. We certainly can't argue that, I don't think, that it was a bad bill. And two were horrible for our community. So the good one, we can start with the good news. That I think that's going to be signed by the governor, or she'll let it go, become law without her signature, which that can happen too. There are three things a governor can do when a bill lands on her desk. She can sign it, she can veto it, or she can let it go, a certain period of time elapse, I think it's 3 weeks or something like that, and then it becomes law without her signature. So there are three ways that she can express her wishes on a bill. This bill, and I don't recall the number, it might be 1443, Senate Bill 1443, I think, will allow, or it carves out an exception to the No Cannabis on Campus bill that was passed last year. I can tell you last year we had a loud, vigorous argument, myself and three others, with the sponsor of that No Cannabis on Campus bill. She was a foot soldier. That bill had been handed to her by the Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin. He got that bill from Yavapai County because he's up in that way. Sheila Polk, Yavapai County prosecutor, she gave him that bill. He gave it to his foot soldier. She ran it. And we told her it was unconstitutional. Say if you're a U of A student, you have a card issued by the state that says you're a patient, and you want to be in a dorm, you're going to stay in a dorm, and you will be prohibited if you're a U of A patient with a card from having cannabis, your medicine, in your dorm. So we told her it was unconstitutional, but she didn't care. She couldn't back down. She was being told from on high it had to go through. It went through. So that's a bad bill. That caused the U of A to lose some funding because they lost a research project that they were going to have. So Dr. Sue Sisley, who works for the U of A, that's one of her tasks in the community. She worked with some folks there, and they got Senator Yee to bring this bill forward, and she did, and it passed. So there will be now an exception carved out for federally approved research. It can now be done, these projects, on state university grounds. So that's a good one. Medical research can happen in Arizona universities. It's very good. I mean, it's unfortunate that the first bill passed last year that prohibited cannabis on campus. It will take a student or someone else who's a cardholder that's affected going to court, you know, and lawyering up and going into the courts and getting that changed. But for the time being, at least we can let research. Now, what does that do, though? What does that say? We're now allowing medical scientific research on our research university campuses. So the legislature has to have acknowledged that there's some medical benefit, or that there's at least a potential medical benefit. One of the people that was key in getting that conversation changed was Mel McDonald. Mel McDonald was a U.S. attorney for Arizona in the 80s, during the Reagan Just Say No era. He prosecuted a lot of drug crimes, among others. But later in his life, about, I think it was 10, 12 years ago, his then 14-year-old son got hit by a car while riding his go-ped, suffered a serious head injury, little brain damage. He now has epileptic-type seizures on a regular basis. Now, okay, so this is the stepson of Mel McDonald, who's a U.S. prosecutor. Now he's an attorney in private practice. He does defense. He actually does defense law, so if somebody needs a good legal defense, Mel might be a good one because he's become a great advocate now.
Wow.
It was only cannabis. I mean, think about it. An affluent, well-educated fellow. So when his son had this problem, he and his wife sought out every solution, right? Every allopathic solution, every sort of solution medical science could provide, and nothing worked.
Right.
Now, of course, Mel, not only was he a U.S. prosecuting attorney or a U.S. From the DOJ, U.S. attorney for Arizona, he's also an older white male, Republican, and Mormon. And so for him to come forward and say, this is the only medicine that works for my son. We have tried everything.
Yeah. Wow.
They had the means to try everything. They tried everything. This is what works. And so for him to come forward, he went down to the legislature and testified. So for those folks that would normally just identify with him totally, older white males, Republican, some Mormon, you know, and for him to be saying to them something that is 180 degrees to their thinking, it's kind of hard for them to refuse that new information.
Well, and there's a great video of him actually saying that. It's like a minute long of him talking about his stepson and what happened. And when you see him, he is just dead on, this is what we do, this is how it is, and this is okay. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This man has been changed by this, and you can tell that
Yay.
He's not going to let anybody take this medicine away from his stepson. It's fantastic.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Yeah. And when
then
you
see
the video, when it first pops up, you think, oh, here we go. He's going to say something bad about cannabis and just
right.
the opposite.
It's kind of a, I don't know if it's really a game changer, but it's certainly a dialogue changer, no question. Which is a big part of the game, is that persuasive attempt, that rhetoric, that, you know, trying to get the argument out there. And so Mel was a very good one to do that, absolutely. And then the other bills that Yee had, we were able to kill those. They were both bad bills. Well, there was one that prohibited people from having medicine or being under the influence of their medicine while working in a child care facility. We have no problem with that. Nobody should show up to work under the influence of anything. And whether they should have cannabis at their workplace, you know, that's okay. It wasn't worth it. You got to pick and choose your battles. That one wasn't worth fighting over, really, because it's hard to disagree with the premise of it anyway. Certainly, if somebody's adversely affected by it, they can seek a legal remedy. But the other two were very bad, and that was the confiscation bill, which was 1441, Senate Bill 1441. That would have allowed the, or actually would have kind of encouraged, if you will, the police to do what they too often do, is go in, say they have probable cause, go in, you know, get a search warrant, go in, raid somebody's grow, take it all apart, and then destroy the plants and everything else, which, of course, they don't maintain the plants anyway. But that's what the prosecuting attorneys said. You need to know about the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council. That is the group of 700 prosecutors in the state that come up with a lot of these bad bills, and they give them to friendly legislators to go forward with, to try to make them law. And then they support the heck out of them while they're, you know, in hearings and all that down there, down at the Capitol. So that bill we were able to kill because it was an outgrowth of the Yuma case. If you recall, there was the California woman who was stopped at a border checkpoint from California to Arizona, not Mexico to Arizona. She was stopped at a border checkpoint. She was a card-carrying patient from California. The police took her meds. She went to court. She prevailed in Superior Court. She then prevailed in the Appeals Court. And the reason she had to even go to the Appeals Court was that the Yuma County prosecutor was telling the Yuma County Sheriff not to give her meds back because then he would be in violation of the CSA, handling and giving out Schedule I drug. So that was kind of an outgrowth of that. They didn't want to have to handle. They want to seize and destroy. That's what they wanted to do. The police wanted to go in and be able to seize and destroy. And you know, 2 years later, maybe by then they've never filed charges, too. They have 2 years to conduct a criminal investigation. So really, we saw it as a way for the police departments and the prosecutors to, it was a little tempting for them. It made it too easy, maybe, for them to abuse the system, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot that one down, didn't have a lot of legislative support, and we were able to beat that one back. And then the other one, and I had a great problem with this as well. Personally, I didn't like it, and a lot of other folks didn't either. It was the bill that required that people package their medicine in a white, opaque kind of packaging with black lettering saying medicine. You couldn't have your branding. You know, you had to have the DHS label. Well, Kim Yee, Senator Yee, did not know that DHS required a label, a warning label, like on a pack of cigarettes. That's already in the rules. They have to. So she was unaware of that, which isn't unusual. She ran this bill, and it would have required this, which if you're a good capitalist and you want to put your brand on things and get your name out there for your medibles, your tinctures, what have you, it would have made it very difficult. You ladies are too young to remember, but in the 70s, there was a generic brand that came out. And so you could go in the store and you'd see the generic aisle, and it would be white background with black labeling, beer, carrots,
yeah.
You know, hygiene products, whatever it was. So
wow.
So this is what it would have been like, and that's really bad for folks that are trying to, especially because as the industry develops, some people are going to want to go regional, if not national. So how do you develop your brand? So it's anti-capitalist, number one, and the worst part, though, was really this. If you strayed over the line, so if in your advertising, labeling, marketing, any of those things, if you did not forcefully enough or clearly enough, and again, the verbiage was very vague, make sure that it was labeled medicine, then DHS would not just be empowered or enabled or have the discretion to revoke a dispensary owner's license. They were required to do so. It mandated that they, for this one infraction of a vague law, you had to say this person spent 2 years and $500,000 or $1 million getting a dispensary open. Too bad, you're out of business.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No.
Right. No. So we were able to beat that one back too, you know, and just a little political insider baseball kind of strategy. The Democrats in the Arizona legislature don't have a lot of clout. They have next to none for the most part.
Yeah.
2 years ago, the Republicans had a supermajority, and they were able to put anything through. So for us, the timing was good. That redistricting happened last year, and a lot of the Republican folks had to duke it out with each other. Some stepped aside. The net result was that there were and more swing districts were created. So the net result is that we ended up with fewer Republicans at the legislature, a few more Democrats. Certainly still it's a Republican-heavy legislature. But Prop 203, which was voted on and protected by the Arizona Voters Protection Act, says that any voter-approved, any ballot initiative or referendum can only be changed by the legislature if they have 75% or greater majority of votes. So in this case, now the Democrats have more than 25%. So now on any item that comes before them that's under the Voter Protection Act, such as the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, they have some game. They can play. They can prevent bad things from going through. So there were some Republicans that supported, were opposed to these bills as well. I'm not going to name any names because it doesn't matter. They may not want everyone to know. But certainly we had some support on the Republican side of the aisle, which is great. And the Democrats were able to gin up enough of their folks. I believe it was close to, you know, all of them, a number of them, significant number of them, so that we could prevent these bad bills from going forward. So that's what I've been doing with the chamber, taking folks down there, meeting with legislators, telling them why these are bad, that sort of thing. It's just it's a little bit of lobbying at the, you know, at the citizen level.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, how do people get involved on the in the citizen level with you? If they want to go political and help you do political things, how do patients and others get involved that way?
Well, yeah, thanks for asking. That's a great question. One thing the chamber is going to do is we're looking to bring on board, if you will, a lot more patient members. We want to be open to having patients as members. We're going to work with some of the evaluation centers to see if they can subsidize patient memberships, make them ultra cheap. I mean, ultra cheap. Ultra cheap. So there's no reason they wouldn't join. You know, I don't know if this is a good analog, but the American Association of Retired People, right, the AARP, is the largest lobbying group in the world. And why? Because as you approach 50, you start getting AARP solicitations. You don't even have to be there yet. You could be 48 and they start mailing you stuff.
I got it.
Just...
got my thank you. Okay. I'm waiting
well,
for
yeah, there you go. But, you know, but that's how they have political power because they're so large. There's so many members. And so think about it. If we had, out of 38,000 members currently, if we had 15,000 who were members of the chamber, it would be huge because we'd go down there and we'd have some real clout. I mean, right now, we go down there, we have the business face, and I brought, you know, two medical professionals and a 30-year business veteran who also, his daughter is an oncologist. That's why these folks were in this industry and going to be opening dispensaries. But it's great to put the face of who we are. We're everyday average Arizonans opening these businesses and supporting these patients. And so that has a lot of influence over our legislators. So that's the way I would ask everybody to just go to our Facebook page. We're working on our website. There's going to be an advocates archive on our website when we get that up and running.
What's your Facebook page?
It is, well, I don't know, Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce. So as far as the exact address. But if you put us in there, it'll find us. And I post articles, and some of the other folks that are on the board post articles there frequently. Washington, Colorado, Arizona, certainly. Awesome. It's a way to keep up, yeah, and just with what's going on. So that's the other thing I would say about political advocacy and activism is keep in mind, a lot of these folks are now putting together teams for next year's election, for 2014, November 2014. We're going to be voting in a new governor. We're going to be voting in a new attorney general.
Wow.
And some of those other, and yeah. So we have some terrific opportunities as a community, as a movement, to get our people to participate. Find somebody whose values are similar to yours. Somebody's running for office, their values are similar to yours. Volunteer for their campaign. Phone bank. Do lit drops, literature drops, you know, next fall. But keep in mind, too, it's not just the general election. It's vital we understand the importance of primary elections. That's right. When a lot of the people who end up taking office get voted in because they have no real general election opposition. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get involved, you know, start looking at that now. The teams are forming. People are positioning themselves now.
And where do you go to look at that information? Because that's a really great thing. If there was a website that patients could go to that they wanted to find out what their politicians are doing and where to do it with them.
Yeah, probably the best thing to do is contact your political party. So, you know, libertarians put up folks too. We know statistically they don't have any chance of winning, but they can change the conversation. They can be effective in changing the conversation to some degree. But if you're a member of one of the two major parties, or if you're independent and you have, you know, values closely aligned with the Republicans or the Democrats, get involved with the party. Just go down there, say hello, tell them you're interested in volunteering. You'll get more opportunities than you know what to do with, because they're all looking for help. They're all looking for help. And the fact is, when you're there, and as we know, and we've been talking about the whole show, you have an opportunity to be persuasive when you just show them that you're an average Arizonan, just like everybody else, except you like cannabis.
Right.
So once they accept you, embrace you, you're working for free for them, right? And you become friends with them, and they know, like, and trust you. And then you say, oh, yeah, and this is my medical marijuana card. I mean, I wouldn't start the conversation with that the first time you meet them, but
right.
Then you'll find they'll accept you and they'll appreciate you, and
right.
you've just persuaded them, you've just shown them
mm-hmm.
what we're about.
Yep, absolutely.
Extremely powerful, and the higher up you can go, the better. When we were at the legislature, we visited with Chad Campbell, who is talking about running for governor next year. He's the House Minority Leader right now. So Fred Duvall is also, he's announced. He's well-known in Pima County and Maricopa County. Fred's been around a long time. He worked with Bruce Babbitt in his administration going back to the 80s, for those of us old enough to remember that. And then on the Republican side, you've got Doug Ducey, who's the current state treasurer. So on the Republican side, if you have values similar to Doug's, it'd be great to get on his campaign and to start persuading and dripping on him a little bit about medical cannabis. He's probably going to run. He's a current office holder. He can't announce right now, like Chad Campbell can't announce, because we have a resign to run law. If you're going to officially file and announce your candidacy, you have to resign your current elected position. So most of these folks wait until they're no longer, or they're in their last year, then they can actively campaign.
Okay.
And then Ken Bennett's going to run, and Tom Horn's going to run for re-election as Attorney General.
Oh.
So if you like what you've got under Tom Horn, by all means, go to work for him. But I got a feeling that people in this community would rather support Felicia Rodellini, who's going to run on the Democratic side.
No.
Now, I can't say that Felicia's a friend. I don't know that she is. And in fact, I have concerns that she's not. So we definitely need to do some persuasion on her and some education on her. But, I mean, we can't really do much worse than Tom Horn has been, I suppose, as Attorney General. He may alter his view over time. Maybe Mel McDonald will have had a salutary effect on Tom Horn. Who knows? Because he's been quiet about it recently. So he's got other things going on, though, too. So who knows?
Wow. That is a lot of awesome information. So before we let you go, and we could probably do this for, like, hours. This is so great. One quick question, your opinion, when is Arizona just going to legalize it?
Well, certainly by 2020 we should, but maybe we could do it sooner than that. I think a good part of the country will be medical, if not any adult use by 2020, we could hope, right? It seems to be going that way. So
yeah.
realistically, 2016 is probably, so much depends on what the feds do. Of course, we're still waiting for Eric Holder, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, to come out with his review of the Washington and Colorado laws. He told a room full of state attorneys general that they were winding down their review. What was that, 2 months ago? 6 weeks ago? Still no word. But you can't help but just you can't help but know that they're not, they can't, I just can't see them suing the states of Washington and Colorado, because it'll spark a huge constitutional crisis. And it'll be in the courts, it'll be litigated for years. So the best comment I heard, and I wish I could tell you, I think I read it and I don't remember who, I'd like to give an attribution, but the best comment I heard based on what I've seen is that the federal government's kind of doing a negotiated surrender at this point to the states that are moving ahead. The public opinion polling is 60% leave medical programs alone, 52% saying just tax it and legalize it, legalize and tax it, regulate it. You know, it'd be very foolish for the feds to come down and but they'll still do what they do for those businesses that are situated too close to a park or a school or a church or what have you, and other bad actors. I mean, they reserve the right. They certainly have the right still to come down on those folks.
Yes,
but
they do.
It's not it's going our way, but it's going to take time still. So
yes.
Maybe 2016 in Arizona, but. That's an open question right now, but it's an intriguing one.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking forward to having the freedom to do with it what we would please. You know?
Yeah, well, and what so many people
need.
Yeah, you
know? More and more patients just want to grow their own medicine.
Well, they just
sure.
want it. They
mm-hmm.
want to be able to have it without the anxiety of thinking that
mm-hmm.
someone's going to knock on their front door, or their neighbors are going to tell on them, or they, you know, or they're going to be judged or looked down upon amongst their friends and peers. It's not okay to feel that
right.
way.
No,
that,
not in the land of the free.
That
shouldn't be.
Thank you. Home of the brave, which we are.
Out of necessity, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why they wrote it. Well, thank you so much. This is just
thank
been,
you.
Yeah, this is great. And what's next for you? Where are you going now?
Actually, I'm going to be back east to visit family and friends. I haven't been back in a number of years. Of course, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire. New York. New York is apparently, at the seminar last week, one of the speakers said that investors are starting to line up and prepare in New York State for that state to enact legislation for a medical program. Governor Cuomo hasn't said he'll sign it, and he's a likely 2016 presidential candidate. So he'll be looking at it closely, but he'll be looking at the polls closely too. And as the polls continue going our way, then his thinking has to evolve along our way. But in the meantime, if they pass a medical program, that would be huge. And there is going to be a, I don't know what to call it, a seminar or a one-day conference that the Medical Marijuana Business Journal, MMJ Business Daily, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Great daily publication online, free. Publication. They're going to be hosting a one-day seminar down in New York City, and I'll be there, and that'll be June 11th.
Oh, excellent. Wow.
Yeah,
we'll
that'll be fun.
We'll report from you after that. That'll be wonderful.
Okay. Be happy to do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your great service to the community. We appreciate you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And right back at you. Have a wonderful Weed Day Wednesday.
Thank you. I will. It's off to a great start. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, thank you. Take care, Doug.
Yeah. You too. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. We could have just done that for
hours.
The rest of the day.
Yeah.
A
ton of information.
My head's
he
just
is
like,
a wealth.
Yeah, and he's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
What a just really nice guy and interesting. He's not a patient.
That blew me away.
Blew us all away. And he's out there really on the forefront,
right.
Like putting his
soldier on our behalf.
Oh, yeah, 2 feet forward. That's right.
That's
oh, my
awesome.
Goodness.
That's
home
wonderful.
Of the brave.
Good for
yeah.
him.
Yay, Doug. Holy cow, Doug. Well, we have a special guest that's been on the line for quite some time. She is out there in her ether across our beautiful country. And she's actually reported in, this is Space Queen, is reported in from, yes, she's coming on. She's reported in on Facebook and has told us about the states they've been through and whether or not they've been legal or not. Space Queen, are you with us? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here. Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Good morning. Mm-hmm. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I mean, it's sprinkling around here and the trees are blowing in the wind, but it's awesome. We're in Pensacola right now. And yeah, I mean, just listening to all that and then hearing what he was saying about all those upper states on the east side getting legislation, that's fantastic. Now, I know that Florida is working on getting legislation, but the other states around here that we've been in, I don't know anything about their road to our side of things, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting that you just said that, Space Queen, because if you think about the east is coming and the west is already on its way, they're just going to trample the mid-states.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to do that anymore, you know? East meets west. That's it. We're coming to an entirety of yes instead of nose around here for this beautiful plant,
which is good.
That just, you know, like we say, always just helps everybody so much. So what states that have accepted or have not accepted?
Well, the majority of them have not. We've been through, I think New Mexico is the only state that we've been through that actually has legalization. We've hit Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida right now, and those states, we know for a fact, don't have any legalization.
Wow. Well, that's surely going to change soon here.
Yes. We're hoping so. I mean, there's patients around there, I mean, that we know that need it, that physically need it just to get through the day. And it's so sad that they don't have that opportunity.
Uh-oh. I'm not sure what that is, but that sounded like a SOS or a TTY or pause for station break.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Space Queen, I'm not real sure what happened, but yes, the East meeting the West, and pretty soon they're all just going to come together.
And that's going to be nice, because it's going to be harder to resist.
That was really good. You guys missed it. I just sang everyone else's lesson. All right. Just kidding. So let's wrap up the show. We got a few things. We still have to do our quick timeline and some real fast temperature. 1450 BC. See? Did Tech Guy get it? No. Book of Exodus references holy anointing oil made from cannabis.
Ooh,
here in quotes. Holy anointing oil, as described in the original Hebrew version of the recipe in Exodus 30:22-23. Contained over 6 pounds of cannabosum, a substance identified by respected etymologists, linguists, anthropologists, botanists, and other researchers as cannabis. Extracted into 6 quarts of olive oil, along with a variety of other fragrant herbs, the ancient anointed ones were literally drenched in this potent mixture.
Wow. That's awesome.
Should I just read that again for the Bible people?
I think I'm going to look at the
you read it.
Holy
you read it. You're a good reader.
Yeah.
A whole lot. You're a good reader. Speak up. Read again. Let's do this. Let me take this in. Because everyone always says, well, it's not the Bible.
Yes, it is. Okay. Excellent. We are on 1450 BC.
Yep.
Holy anointing oil, as described in the original Hebrew version of the recipe in Exodus, Chapter 30, verses 22 and 23, contained over 6 pounds of cannabosum, a substance identified by respected etymologists, linguists, anthropologists, botanists, and other researchers as cannabis, extracted into about 6 quarts of olive oil, along with a variety of other fragrant herbs.
Wonderful.
Wow. The ancient anointed ones were literally drenched in this potent mixture.
Cannabosum. There you go.
What did they say?
Lito.
What did those shirts say? Man-made beer, God-made pot, which one do you trust?
Ooh.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's just kind of an interesting thing, you know. It's so natural that there's no argument.
Did we do, oh, we did this one last time, didn't
we?
Yeah,
I know. And you know what? The next one is so perfect.
Oh.
That's great.
All right. Where are the sound effects?
Okay, so I know. Where are the sound effects? Because this one fits what we were just talking
lady,
about.
Lady, look, you're going to describe the photo?
Yes, this is wonderful. This is a picture of the Pope. And he looks like a very mean Pope. And in the background is like the all-seeing eye from The Lord of the Rings, it looks like. And there's Adam and Eve standing in the corner. And they have the little leaves over, you know, all their fun parts. And the devil's standing behind them as if to say, and the serpent's behind them too, as if to say that, you know, they're evil and they have the apple and everything like that. And so the Pope is on the other side. And he looks mad. And he's got, you know, a couple of cardinals and an altar boy and some other people behind him. And they're all, you know, praising him and stuff. So here's the why. A doctrine of hypocrisy and fear. The Catholic Church is the world's largest Christian church, claiming more than a billion members. Led by the Pope, it defines its mission as spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, administering the sacraments, and exercising charity. Yet, during the years of Inquisition, the Church inflicted tortures and incarcerated over 125,000 individuals for religious heresy. An estimated 6,000 were executed, and some 60,000 women burned at the stake as witches. Yeah. Okay, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Today,
I want to do the kids booing, but I think it's going to be wrong.
Today,
not bad enough.
More than 10,000 allegations of sexual abuse on minors have been filed against the Catholic priests in the U.S., thousands more in Ireland, and in many other countries. The BBC has reported on allegations that the current Pope, when the cardinal heading the Congregation Doctrine of the Faith, helped cover the mass rapes of the children by the priests.
Ugh.
So they're calling you out, Catholic Church. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Cardinal Ratzinger was responsible for enforcing a secret Vatican decree to shelter the proprietors and silence the victims of abuse.
Oh. Oh, no, you didn't.
So, we won't get into the politics of that.
You know, we don't need to get into the politics.
That is old
that.
News. Very
but
old news.
This is old news, so this is talking about the old Pope.
Very
not
shocking.
Not
very
okay.
Old.
It's yeah. Still shocking, not okay. Exactly.
Not okay.
So let's move on
old
to the
news.
Why not. It looks a little more positive.
Oh, we hope.
I hope.
Right.
So it's the thing about
know,
love. Love is
love.
Okay,
now we're in obviously the New Testament. Is this is a picture of looks like Jesus Christ with his hands open and little angels floating above him, hearts. There's little love hearts all around Jesus, all around the people. Everybody's happy. And guess why?
Why?
Because there is this beautiful, what appears to be a purple hookah. And everybody has their own little mouthpiece, and they're all quite happy.
Nice.
Why not?
Why not?
A doctrine of love. Why not a doctrine of love?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Although most Christian religions demonize cannabis, little do they know that Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the man who preached of love and forgiveness, gained his title through a Hebrew ritual reserved to high priests, prophets, and kings, in which one was drenched in the holy anointing oil created from several aromatic herbs, including cannabism.
Woo!
Cannabis. Not to forget, this is interesting, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding the fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so.
Yep.
And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So it's good.
Wow.
So it's been obviously approved by the one and only.
There you go. So you can't say that it's not in there.
You can't say it.
It's in there.
Well, and, you know, other religions have the same thing.
Well, they all have their own spin or take. Yeah. Shiva, we found out, plant cannabis grows within Shiva. And you drink their holy drink is the bong, B-H-A-N-G.
Guess what, Val?
Seeds and stems. Yes.
I have something to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. We have reached...
No!
No
the
way.
The end of empathy.
No.
That was the last one?
Wow. That was the last one.
Ending on love.
Ending
on
love.
I like that.
On love.
And anointed people.
Cool.
Yes. Well, that's a good way to end this.
Yeah.
We would like to thank a couple people we haven't.
RoseHouse.com,
of course. Blog Talk Radio. So always attending the show. And we hosted our show. Tech Guy for being here, even though we went to the other place. I didn't tell him my bus. Patience. Anita. Lady Luck, Space Team across the world.
Always fun to be here.
Always fun. Next week, we have... Oh, this is great. Next week, we have a very young patient coming on with her family, and her name is Brave Michaela.
Wonderful.
And I'm not sure. I think she's 9 or so. We're going to have all the interview questions next week. We ask the hard questions. But she's using cannabis, and her family, I talked to her father the other day, just awesome, crusaders, complete crusaders for this, and it's keeping her alive and happy and healthy, and it's something that they deserve to have and are using a lot of other things to meet for her challenges. But we'll find all about that.
Wonderful.
Next week. We have the King of Pot is coming on the following week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, you know.
Some exciting weeks to come.
Very exciting weeks to come. We got to find out why they call him the King of Pot.
The return of Cannabis Kid.
Yeah, the return of Cannabis Kid. He'll ride on in, movie on it again.
Exactly.
And thank you. Yeah, thanks to everybody, all the patients for participating in the program, being brave enough to stand up for their rights. And for everybody for listening and for doing good in the world.
And make sure you're in our new place.
That's right. Tunnel Weeds Health Center is now at 5315 East
Broadway.
Suite 105. Right next to the Purple Pot.
Woo-hoo.
Look for the Purple Pot. It's awesome.
It is a granddaddy Purple Pot.
Yeah. Granddaddy Purple Pot. There you go. Look for it. And we'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.